Well, you might be stuck in your car. You might be stuck in your house. There's been like a torrential downpour going on out there. It's great for getting people to listen to the radio. I'm Alan Jennings. I'm your host of Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. By day, most nights, and every weekend, I sweat and bleed to fight poverty on behalf of the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley. Once or twice a month, sometimes I get lucky and get even more time. WDIY gives me this opportunity to bring the public affairs issues that I think are important to the smartest listeners in the Lehigh Valley. Tonight, quietly, there has been a tectonic change in one of the Lehigh Valley's most stable organizations. Mike Kaiser ran the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission since its earliest days. The commission has done great work. Very professional, steady, solid, visionary, but far too often ignored. Antiquated state law renders such good work almost irrelevant. While counties are required to plan, municipalities are free to ignore those plans. Consequently, Mike Kaiser, a true professional and visionary, earned his cynicism like nobody else. The commission, appointed professionals as well as elected officials, stepped outside of what many of us thought was a clear succession plan, and busted the glass ceiling, dug into a younger generation, and made something of a statement in hiring Becky Bradley. Becky is the former director of planning in the city of Easton. I worked with Becky on a number of different things. I found her to be an extraordinary professional, very much a person who understands cities. She is a graduate of University of Pennsylvania's master's degree program, which my daughter is as well, and that makes her special just that alone. And now she's the executive director of the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. She looks a little different than Mike Kaiser. She's a lot younger than Mike Kaiser, and no offense to Mike, and with all respect to Becky. And Becky, I'm glad to have you on the show. Welcome.
Thank you.
And congratulations.
Thank you again.
Let me start. Let's start with the, I use music to make segues between the different topics. And the reason I started with Magical Mystery Tour was to give you an opportunity to talk about how you found your way to be the executive director of the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission.
You want me to start at the beginning or the Easton piece?
Well, let's start. Let's start. Yeah, and what brought you to planning in the first place, and then how you got through your professional career to this point.
I actually started out in historic preservation in southern Missouri. I'm from central Illinois, and after undergrad in Missouri, I moved back to Illinois. And I got the chance to work at the Illinois Main Street Program, which was working with rural municipalities throughout southern and central Illinois and even northwestern Illinois to revitalize their communities. The agricultural community and the agricultural economy had changed pretty significantly, and there was a rising rate of poverty, lack of jobs, and we needed to try and help people turn that around. And that's how I got to planning. So I went from historic preservation to planning, and seeing those kind of social, community, economic issues really, really got me to where I am today. And that's when I went to Penn to get my master's degree in urban and regional planning.
From the Farm Belt to the mm-hmm. City of Brotherly Love.
Yep.
And from the planning, the master's program at Penn, that mm-hmm. took you straight to the city of Easton as the director of planning?
No, I actually worked at the Delaware County Planning Department. Prior to that, I'd worked for Kystra & Kolodner and then a consulting firm called Civic Visions. We did some revitalization planning for the city of Las Vegas and done some heritage trail work through KSK and the state of New Jersey and Constitution Center, and been involved in a number of things. But in Delaware County, I got the opportunity to work with the city of Chester, you know, borough of Media, every type of municipality that Pennsylvania has to offer, rural, suburban, urbanized, wealthy, not wealthy, and everything kind of in between. I met my husband after grad school, and he's from here. So that's how I came
to Lehigh Valley.
It did, yep.
Gotcha. You got the kind of praise that I think you deserved for the work you did in Easton. There was a nice article a few months ago in one of the local newspapers that that gave you a lot of credit for the work that has been done under Mayor Panto. And I got to tell you, I think Mayor Panto is very good at finding talent, at picking talent.
Yeah.
But I mean, I thought it was extraordinary that people, because, you know, planning people are kind of behind the scenes people. They do the technical kinds of stuff. And, and I mean, you know, for you to get that kind of credit, I think, first of all, richly deserved, but secondly, unusual. What would you say were your proudest achievements for the work you did in Easton?
Oh, man, where do I start? Well, the first thing I think is when I got there, we had a suburban zoning code that didn't allow investment to occur in the city in any sort of real way or any sort of way that could be accommodated by the buildings and the land that the city had. So we had to change that. And through the help of, you know, State Representative Bob Freeman, Steve Glickman, a local architect, he's on the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission now, and a number of folks. It was really interesting. Even code professionals were involved. We kind of recruited about 38 people in the community to write what became the first comprehensive set of smart growth codes in the Commonwealth. But it was really a logical set of codes. And I know it sounds a little wonky to talk about laws and regulations, but zoning controls absolutely every type of use that you could propose anywhere in the Commonwealth and is kind of the crux of whether a parcel is investable or not investable.
And it has a lot to do with whether cities thrive or die. It has a lot to do with disparities in income and where people can live. It protects wealth. It keeps poverty down, you know, where it is. We can get into some of those things in the course of this conversation. It sounds like you're from rural Missouri, and pretty rural Illinois. You live out there in some, you know, western Lehigh County municipality. What made you such a proponent of cities?
I like all kinds of places. I mean, you have to love a variety of places as a planner. In some ways, rural communities aren't different than suburban communities, aren't different than urbanized communities, and in other ways, they're vastly different. Being able to work within those and understand those differences, and really it's about place. And there's micro places, and there's macro places, and there's everything in between. Just like a city would have different types of neighborhoods that are going to have different values. I think for me, it's finding out what those values are, no matter where you're at. And being able to work with those and those people that hold those values and keep that community intact to support what they need in order to make, you know, their lives good. And that's really how I kind of approach the difference between urban, rural, and suburban. I love rural areas. I've always, you know, lived in a rural area or even a suburban area for a while in an urban area. And I loved that I could walk places in an urban area. In a rural area, I love that I can have a giant garden, and I think that's important, you know, for me. And you make housing choices, and you make work choices, and you make life choices. And whatever choices that you make, you live with those, but you can always be part of that community that makes a place better.
You sort of disarmed my question that I was looking forward to throwing at you, which is, as a proponent of cities and as a proponent of rail and mass transit and open space preservation, how's the vinyl siding in the subdivision in the land of no sidewalks in a rural township in a 20-mile commute to work working for you?
It's fine. I don't have to recruit or drive 40 miles each
that's
way
true.
Anymore.
You shortened
so
your commute.
Yeah, I cut it in half. So that's a good thing. I don't live in a home with vinyl siding, just for the record.
You talked about public input, public participation. I think that's one of the things that distinguished you. Obviously our listeners probably don't, we run a little community development effort in the West Ward of Easton called the West Ward Neighborhood Partnership. And our staff in your office worked closely in a lot of different ways, and you know, we helped get people to those meetings that historically just don't mm-hmm. step up, don't come out, or when they do, they get squelched, or they get intimidated, or they feel that they were marginalized, or whatever the case may be. And that's a very different thing for in our experience. And in the course of this show, I just want to make it clear, I am a huge fan of Mike Kaiser's, but you know, there's going to be some discussion about the distinction between you and Mike, and I think one of them is that you have a much more public input oriented approach to planning. I think Mike would argue that he did too. But, you know, the experience over the years was often that when there was a public input opportunity, it was at noon on a Tuesday afternoon. And of course, that leaves an awful lot of people out. Do you see yourself approaching planning differently than Mike with respect to the issue of public input and the process of planning?
Sure. I mean, I think it was just a difference in generations, honestly. For me,
are you dissing old people like me?
No, I'm not. but you know, I wasn't born at the same time as Mike, and I think I just view things a little bit differently because of some of those generational differences. But really, for me, in the public participation piece, I always feel like it's important to go to the people that you need to communicate with, or that you need information from, or that you want them to be a part of whatever you're doing. And that takes a lot of work and a lot of effort. But I think that's important to getting buy-in to your plans, because it's fine to have a plan. But it's a whole nother thing when you want to get people excited about it, and you want them to work with you to implement it, or find their own way to implement it. It doesn't necessarily have to be us implementing it either. But people need to feel valued. And public participation is key to that value. I'm not afraid of talking to anybody. And I know I'm going to go to places where I'm going to hear things that I don't necessarily want to hear. But the job of a planner is to remain objective. And if you hear things that aren't necessarily pleasant, then in some ways it's your job to figure out how to address those with the people that they affect.
You're listening to WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, Becky Bradley, who I've worked with for several years, I think most of the time. How long were you with the City of Easton?
8 years.
So most of the time that we were doing the West Ward Neighborhood Partnership, which means mm-hmm. that I've worked with and had that pleasure with Becky for some time. Also in the studio is with me is my partner, really, Ray Schwab, who is a terrific volunteer. He works the equipment and does it pretty well. He almost never makes mistakes, and if he has made a mistake, it was probably my fault anyway. You know, it just rained like crazy. Mm-hmm. Easton's probably under 10 feet of water right now. Let's talk water for a few minutes. I mean, talk yep. about wonkishness. And I mean, I don't think people appreciate water so much as a planning issue. What does the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission do with water?
Oh, we do all kinds of stuff with water. We do everything from research and draft and work with communities to adopt floodplain ordinances. And that's critical not only for, you know, just land management, for emergency management when you have issues. But we also do things like stormwater management. We have stormwater management planning and some review into house. We also have a natural resources plan. And those are critical things to kind of making a community work.
There was some suggestion that part of Easton's water problem has to do with the fact that it's at the bottom of a few hills. And there's a lot of impervious surface at the tops of those hills, like in the West Ward, and that has a lot to do with, you know, all this runoff comes down. Now there was a removal of some dams along the way, mm-hmm. and I mean, I was only partially kidding about the question of the effect on Easton of this storm that we just had that mm-hmm. probably isn't finished. Was Easton engaged in the question of whether or not those dams being removed was an acceptable step to take?
The two dams at the there's one at the confluence of the Delaware River on the Lehigh, and then there's one that the city of Easton owns further up on the Lehigh River.
But there were
ones in Allentown
dams up
no.
No, you didn't weigh in. You didn't think there was going to be any impact from that.
Well, no, we weren't asked on that question, but we were asked on the two Easton dams.
Pennsylvania law. I was on a state planning board, and you know, a lot of I'm of the belief that there are very few problems that don't have solutions. And that a lot of problems, solutions are legitimately in the realm of government. And, you know, planning is a government tool, you know, a government established tool. And planning is left in Pennsylvania as the domain of basically the lowest level of government, the municipality, the township, the borough, the city. Did you do enough planning when you were in Illinois or the Midwest to get an idea of whether, you know, what was going on over there is better or worse than what's going on here?
I think I have some strong opinions about the Pennsylvania municipalities.
We will get
planning
into it,
code.
Believe me.
I don't know if this is a time to talk about that, but you have to have municipal empowerment in your planning and zoning decisions. To the extent that's authorized by whatever state you're part of is really kind of the crux of the issue. For example, in Pennsylvania, you know, as you said, the municipalities control their planning, their zoning, their subdivision land development ordinances, all their floodplain ordinances, their zoning ordinances, steep slope ordinances, whatever types of land regulations that they have, as well as their comprehensive plan. At the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, we have a regional comprehensive plan that promotes growth, responsible growth. And then again, we do a lot of the technical planning, projections, that sort of work. But coming back to the municipal issue, sometimes the state doesn't require zoning ordinance to be consistent with even the municipality's own comprehensive plan. And somehow that isn't as efficient or logical as maybe it should be. So you can plan for stuff, but if you don't allow it or you disallow it, something that you want to allow, then what good is it?
The struggles that Becky will have are going to make Easton, I think, almost seem like a kid's game, because you're going to have. I mean, you know, you were in Easton. You're in a self-contained place. Everybody mm-hmm. had generally the same agenda, the same issues, the same concerns. Now you're going to have to do this with 62 municipalities and 40 some water and wastewater systems and dozens of planning commissions and so on and so forth. And we're going to get into some of that in just a minute. But first, we're going to take a break. You're listening to WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, the new executive director of the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, Becky Bradley. Stay with us.
You're listening to WDIY, Community Public Radio for the Lehigh Valley. If you appreciate and value the programming we provide, including NPR's in-depth news coverage, our local public affairs programs, and the diverse mix of music we broadcast each day, please consider becoming a member. Membership is our most important source of revenue. We can't do it without you. You can make a secure donation online at wdiy.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for your support.
It's time.
Welcome back. Glad you're back. Hopefully you're stuck in your car because you don't want to be rained on, although I'm looking out and it looks like as fast as the gale force rains and winds came, they may have moved through. This is listener-supported community public radio, WDIY. The show is Lehigh Valley Discourse. It's a public affairs show. And tonight my guest is Becky Bradley, who is the new executive director of the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Lehigh Valley Planning Commission does a ton of work. It also struggles to get its work implemented because the rules in Pennsylvania basically give all the power to the lowest level of government, the township, first or second class, the borough, the city, first, second, third class city. Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton are all third class cities. We've got boroughs, of course, and we've got both first and second class townships. And zoning is a crafty little tool that was conceived by somebody somewhere along the way. And Becky, you probably know who and why and how they pulled it off. But, you know, older municipalities, urbanized municipalities, typically there would be some kind of economic activity that was centered around some natural feature like water and the flow of water, or like minerals and the ability to extract those minerals. You needed workers. The workers need stores. Those things were developed in close proximity because there were no cars. There were barely trolleys in the earliest days. Eventually, workers got enough money that they could buy cars. Cars became more available, and people started moving out. And, you know, as what was it? IKEA said, "Is a big country. Somebody's got to furnish it." You know, you've got this natural flow of capital out of our urbanized communities. And the result is, you know, when you've got a flow of capital always heading out, you know, you're going to be in trouble. And what suburban municipalities are able to do is they're able to zone for their own density needs. There are rules that require a multiplicity of all the uses, but when you get a situation where the land becomes more valuable, you can zone for higher density, but you're going to get $350,000 townhouses, not, you know, $75,000 row houses. And you start setting up this very, very different mix of municipalities where people with all the good fortune, with all the stuff, get the nice schools, the bigger yards, the newer houses, the safer streets, and so on. And then because the zoning is so restrictive, it makes sure that certain kinds of people will never get out there. And as a consequence, Allentown's poverty rate is 30%. The rest of Lehigh County's is in the single digits. People of color are overwhelmingly living in the poorest municipalities and the highest density municipalities. And the municipality's planning code makes that just fine. By, you know, and the Planning Commission, over the years, remarkable work. I mean, the kinds of things that many of us are talking about these days, consolidating functions, sharing tax base, maybe even consolidating municipalities or school districts. The municipalities, you know, basically have veto power. Mm-hmm. And so enter Becky Bradley at the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. You talked about the challenges of Pennsylvania law. From your perspective, what's wrong with Pennsylvania law as it relates to planning issues?
Well, I mentioned the one about not even on the local level having your zoning consistent with your comprehensive plan, but not having to have your planning consistent with your neighbors in any real sort of way. You're required to send your planning documents and your zoning documents to your neighbors, but they can say whatever they want, and that's kind of the end of it. But that spirit of collaboration needs to be built into the Pennsylvania Municipalities Planning Code in a more real way if we intend to deal with some of the very significant issues that we're going to have to address over the next, you know, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Everything from infrastructure, and as you had mentioned before, water, sewer infrastructure, and those networks, roads, bridges, all of those things need to be coordinated not just within a municipality, but across municipalities. And working together on what that means is very critical to our success as not just the Lehigh Valley or as the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, but the nation as a whole.
You know, if Walmart locates in East Allen Township, the municipality next door, Moore Township maybe, will have the burden of the traffic challenges that come as a result of that development, but will get none of the tax benefit, none of the tax revenue from that development. So it makes sense for those two municipalities to work together. And what really makes sense is for those two municipalities to share the revenue. That way you could say, okay, you'll take this Walmart, we'll take the next development, but both of us are going to share in the benefit because the infrastructure burden is going to be a shared burden. You're going to get the revenue, we're not. That lends itself to, you know, a perfect opportunity to do this kind of planning, and it really is difficult to get those things done as a result of the municipality's planning code.
That's true. There are some provisions for multi-municipal comprehensive plans, and, you know, that makes sense between certain communities. Like the community that I live in is in a multi-municipal comprehensive plan with Lynn Township, obviously Heidelberg, where I live, Low Hill and Weisenberg Townships. And that has some provisions in the municipality's planning code to do some joint zoning work, but they don't necessarily have to. But where that becomes important is not necessarily an example like you're talking about, but let's say the city of Easton, which is almost at 100% build out. So really they deal a lot in revitalization and redevelopment and infill development there. They're not going to have the land to put in a Walmart per se, unless they tear down an entire, you know, section of a neighborhood,
right,
essentially. But you would have to allow, let's say, a landfill. Well, you clearly can't put a landfill in Easton if there's no place for a landfill to go. So a multi-municipal plan would allow them to do some maybe joint zoning with, let's say, Williams Township, where there already is a landfill, to accommodate that use there. So there is some provisions for sharing, but it's not required.
And it, you know, if you're a rural municipality, I don't see why you shouldn't be allowed to stay a rural municipality. Mm-hmm. But if you're required to have the various density requirements, you're not going to stay rural if there's any, you know, regional economic development pressure. So the ideal thing would be for the rural municipality to enter into a multi-municipal plan with an urbanized municipality, so that urbanized municipality can take the responsibility for the high-density zoning and the high-density housing. The rural municipality can preserve the bucolic, more rural site. But you've got the tax revenue issues again, and you've,
yep,
got the burden that comes with all that urbanized development, and you know, the tax bases in the Lehigh Valley. You know, the urban tax bases over the last 15 or 20 years have risen like 0.5%, while the township tax bases have grown something like 55%. You know, without that opportunity or insistence really on those multi-municipal activities, I think it's a pretty good lock that cities are going to struggle to survive, and boroughs, for until that gets resolved.
You might be onto something. I know there's actually a pretty good example of sharing in the Nazareth area. They have a multi-municipal comprehensive plan that the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission wrote a couple of years ago. And people are very interested in what that can do for that agricultural borough, more developed areas of that Nazareth area, and how that can be shared. But you're right. There does need to be some state law changes in terms of how we manage our infrastructure. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have a road to get to wherever you need to go, you've got an issue.
So essentially, the planning tools that you have available to you to address things like aging infrastructure, like commuting times, like disparity in income from municipality to municipality, are really pretty limited. I mean, the marketplace is very powerful, left to its own device. If you've got tools that have essentially reinforced wrong, in the sense that, you know, you protect what you've got out there and don't let the poor folks in and all that kind of stuff, it you've got pretty limited tools. What you've really got to do is persuade those municipalities to work with you. So how do you anticipate dealing with the very, very careful, you know, I started the segment with "It Don't Come Easy" by Ringo. How do you see yourself as a new executive director of the Regional Planning Commission dealing with this issue, knowing that the rules are stacked in favor of one side, and knowing that if you don't accommodate that side, you ain't never going to solve these problems? So have you thought about that?
Sure.
That balancing act?
Sure, sure. And in some ways, it's a lot more complicated than you're saying. You have the local issues with subdivision and land development and zoning piece, but you also have our role as a metropolitan planning organization in the region. That was set up by the federal government in the 1960s, and we manage about $3.3 billion in infrastructure and transportation funds into the region. So we have our carrot there in that regard. We also do all of the stormwater planning for the region, as well as water and sewer infrastructure planning for the region. We've traditionally done that since the 1961 when the commission was founded. So some of those unseen things or things that people don't think about, you hear the word infrastructure all the time these days because of the funding crisis to deal with the maintenance of that. But planning for that growth in a responsible way, but also planning for that maintenance, is a great way to work with municipalities. Also, on the localized issues with the zoning, subdivision, land development things, I think it's important to go out and talk to folks, again, about what they need, what they like, what they don't like. How many zoning variances are they giving for things that they really want to encourage? And, well, why is that? And is there a way that the Planning Commission can be helpful in working with them to draft ordinances or write comp plans or do the things that we've kind of always done? But I'd like to go out and do that in a more regular way, be more available to folks in that regard, and be a little bit more one-on-one with the commission.
Let's get back to the job of managing an institution, the Planning Commission itself. Mike was in place for a long, long time. All of us who know and love Mike know that Mike had an approach that was, pure Mike Kaiser. It ain't Becky Bradley. Mm-hmm. If you are paying enough attention to the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, an employee, a board member, an interested citizen, what does the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission look like as an institution, say, 2 years from now? Do you have a Becky Bradley stamp that you've got in mind to be able to say this is the way the Planning Commission is going to work under Becky Bradley?
I don't look at it that personalized, but I do have some things that I'd like to do there. Some of the stuff that we've already started implementing is we're going to start working with one of our board members, Robert Lammy from Palmer Township, to work on updating our website. We already put up a Facebook page and a Twitter feed in my first couple of weeks on the job to start communicating with folks that use new media sources and not just rely strictly on email or paper mailings. So we're kind of opening up the public participation piece and the information piece to make the easily accessible things for us to get out there more accessible to folks on that side. And then again, back to the public meeting thing, I want to get out there and do a lot more of that. I'd like to do some more planning and zoning model ordinances. Those are very popular items that we do, but to move beyond just the environmental pieces and look at things like food trucks and backyard animal zoning and the things that the communities are really dealing with on a day-to-day basis, and how those things tie in with a larger economic development strategy that LVDC is proposing and those sorts of things, and really building those partnerships in the work that we do and getting out there and, you know, again, working with people like Mike did very well in the agricultural preservation community. That's very important. It's something that LVPC is kind of an unsung hero, and I congratulate Mike on doing such a wonderful job with those programs. Working with the counties, we are their official planning agency on things like Northampton County is looking at some more parks, recreation, and open space stuff. Clearly, I'm very interested in looking at, beyond the softer side, the maintenance of those infrastructure pieces, and going from a just building new infrastructure kind of model, which was really happened in America from World War II till the great collapse, so to speak, or the Great Recession, whatever you want to call it, a few years ago. Now we really need to invest in what we have, or as a society, we're in trouble. So looking at planning and from a new way and utilizing what you have and building on what you have is going to be very critical to the work that I do and that the commission does. And I'm really excited about that.
You're listening to WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, Becky Bradley, the new and probably very different executive director of the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. What kind of projects have you inherited from Mike, the things that you got to do?
Oh, well, lots of good stuff. It's not stuff I don't look at it ever like we've got to do it. You got to be excited about this. It's kind of a nerdy business that I'm in, which I'm kind of proud of.
Well, you can make it fun.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it is fun. And, you know, getting other people to think that it's fun, too, right, is critically important. But we do the normal sorts of things, the short range and long range transportation plan. We're in the process of updating the comprehensive plan through a joint effort with a number of partners. It's in Envision Lehigh Valley. You're one of those partners, Alan, and have been helping us with that. So, I mean, there's a lot of things like that that we would typically do anyway. The normal subdivision and land development reviews against the regional comprehensive plan. We'll keep doing those things.
I'm guessing that being the creative person that you are and being the energetic person that you are, that you're probably also chomping at the bit to do new kinds of things. Do you have things in mind? Is there a pipeline that's already kind of backed up in your head that you have in mind that you can't wait to get at?
Absolutely. You'll have to wait and see what that is, though.
Oh, this is one of those, I'm not going to get the scoop kind of things. I don't care about scoops, just so you know. I've been fairly vocal about the suburbs' exclusionary zoning practices, mm-hmm. And frankly, so was Mike. Mm-hmm. How do you plan to deal with the vast chasm between the suburbs and the cities? I mean, we talked about the depth of that chasm a few minutes ago. Do you have a style? Do you have a strategy in mind that will keep them engaged and yet be able to push them in a direction you think that we need to go?
Well, I think we all have to deal with it, particularly with our population projected to grow by, over 25% in the next 30 years or so. We're running out of land, and we have to be able to address that wisely, not only from a business perspective, but from a housing perspective. So we are going to have to start talking about density, and we are going to start having to look at zoning and how that can be used as a tool for municipalities to even continue to bring in tax revenue. The day of the McMansion is gone, absolutely gone. And you can see that nationwide. It's not just a Lehigh Valley thing. But people can't afford to maintain homes that are exceptionally large. We're going to have to look at things that are more sustainable. And I know that word in and of itself upsets some people, but when I look at the word sustainable, to me it means logical and able to manage it in the long term, not only from a social perspective, but from an economic perspective.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, Becky Bradley, the new executive director of the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. We're going to take another quick break. Ray Schwab is over there ready to push those buttons, and hope you'll stay with us on the backside of the break.
We're program support on WDIY, we thank the Rodale Institute announcing the Organic Apple Festival, Saturday, September 21st, at the Rodale Institute Farm, 611 Siegfrieddale Road in Kutztown. An opportunity for your family to pick organic apples from the Rodale orchards, try organic treats on their organic farm. Experts will be on hand to answer your questions about growing fruit trees organically. For more information, rodaleinstitute.org.
Nothing without a woman.
Is that cool or what?
Ray, that was man. Awesome.
Yeah, you know, you get the point, everybody, right? James Brown is a jerk for talking about, you know, this being a man's world. And there are plenty of women out there that could either look at it as obnoxious or funny because it's so wrong these days. But glass ceiling shattered at the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. 40-plus years run by a man, great guy I like a lot, great respect for. Different way of looking at things than women do. I can't believe I have to ask this question in 2013, and maybe you say I don't, but is it significant that the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission hired a woman to run the place?
I don't really know. I'm Becky, you know, and that's the thing that's the most important to me. I've always worked with men. I've always worked with women, too, and I don't really look at it as something significant for me. I know other people do, though.
You know, Becky, if you look around us, economic development and community development in Lehigh Valley was almost really the last vestige of male dominance in the Lehigh Valley. I mean, we've gotten to the point now where the only place you can go to make a decision with men is the men's room, because women have finally penetrated just about every place there is. But Sarah Hailstone, Director of Community and Economic Development in the City of Allentown, Cindy Feinberg, now leaving the Lehigh County Department of Community and Economic Development. She presided there for 7-8 years. Darlene Heller, Director of Planning in Bethlehem. Irene Wood, Woodward, doing community development in Bethlehem. Gretchen Longenbach, Head of Community and Economic Development in the City of Easton. Alicia Carner and Lori Sawinski, Economic Development and Community Development, respectively, in Northampton County. Women have basically taken over the show when it comes to how our communities develop and where we're going. I got to tell you, I think it's a great thing. So I think you ought to tout that fact and don't be so modest about it.
A Midwestern.
Do you think of yourself as an advocate?
For planning, absolutely. I believe in efficiency. I believe in solving very difficult and complicated problems. I don't believe in giving up. And I think that's the root of planning advocacy and what planners do and why it's important to talk about our culture and our society being able to, you know, move from year to year to year to year and from generation to generation. And what that takes requires excitement and interest in what you do. And for me, it's planning. So in that regard, I do consider myself an advocate.
Your bosses are the commission.
Mm-hmm.
There are 37. They're appointed by the two county executives. And by whom else? Just the county executives, or do the mayors have appointments?
The mayors are typically on the commission, or their appointee.
And professionals that are also find their way on, are they
sure?
Is everybody appointed by the two county executives?
Yes.
Presumably, you've got solid representation from suburban, rural, and urban individuals. You know, and I characterize the Lehigh Valley as the cities of Bethlehem, Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton, the suburbs and the soon-to-be suburbs. And that's how I characterize the Lehigh Valley. So you're going to have a bunch of people on that board who are not urban advocates necessarily. Do you see yourself as having to kind of go up against that constituency? I mean, how do you manage that?
Well, it's a democracy, you know, and one of the beauties of the Planning Commission having folks from, you know, rural, suburban, urban places and all types of people with different backgrounds and professions and things like that is the fact that you do get a cross representation of the Lehigh Valley as a whole. And the one remarkable thing about the commission, and I thank and congratulate Mike for this as well as county executives over time, is they've appointed people that really do care about the community and really want to be part of that. And the people that come to that table want to be there to make a difference and be part of the decision making for the planning and the development and the redevelopment and all of those things and preservation of open spaces and things in the Lehigh Valley. In a lot of ways, I feel blessed that I get to work with such an interesting and creative group and diverse group of people. And I think that's how you do better planning is in be better, not only professionally, but as a commission, is to bring all those folks to the table and work it out.
I talked in my litany of issues earlier, sort of one of my typical Jennings rants about segregation and how really segregated we are by class and by extension by race and ethnicity. Is there, and I think everybody understands that that's not right, but they also have their, you know, their interests to protect. And is there an issue that's more divisive among the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission or among the interests represented therein than affordable housing?
Affordable housing is it's a difficult issue. And you know this. I mean, you've been working in affordable housing for years. And you know how difficult it is. You know how expensive it is to develop those units, to convince people that they, you know, would want these units or have these things in their neighborhood. And I don't necessarily think that it's a fight for us at the Planning Commission. For us, it's more of a what's really going on out there in the housing world. What sort of information and analysis can we do that helps everyone? And then we do the affordable housing plan. We're in the process of updating that with you and a number of folks and really looking at where do we need affordable housing. We're doing a jobs housing balance study as a piece of that. It's a precursor piece to the housing plan. And I really look at that is going to tell us a lot of where people work and where they live and where even middle-income people may have a hard time finding housing or they may be stressed in terms of mortgages and seeing that if that matches up with foreclosures and things like that. I think that'll be important to allowing others to make decisions in terms of where they would like to invest to build housing or where we need to support or advocate for housing for the people that live and work in those areas or want to live in those areas.
The complexity of this and the variety of interests and you know the alignment of those interests is actually kind of fascinating. Mm-hmm. But you know, when you think about it, if people have to drive a great distance to go from where they can afford to live to where they get their job, that's going to put a lot of muck in the air. And as a valley, one that was heavily laden with industry for a long time, the Lehigh Valley is something like fourth in the nation in asthma rates. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not something that's just going to affect poor people. That affects everybody.
Everyone. Yep.
Long waits in traffic, having to build new schools to accommodate the new growth, having to deal with the prisons because so much disinvestment has occurred in our cities. This really is a family. It really is a situation where we're all in this together. But it's so difficult to get people to understand that interconnectedness and that interdependence in a way that will produce real solutions. You know, I guess that sounded like another one of my rants. But, I mean, I'm like desperate for the Planning Commission to fix this stuff.
I wish I had a magic wand, but I think our role is to bring people to the table and get them, again, to understand the real situation and be part of the solution. If we help facilitate that solution, that would be wonderful. You're right on the asthma rates. I mean, we receive congestion mitigation air quality monies from the federal government to do road improvements.
I don't think most
people know that. Yeah, we do, because of our air quality issues in the Lehigh Valley. And I mean, the average commute in the valley is like 25.5 minutes, I believe, which is below the national average, but it's still really unacceptable given the quality of places that we have to work in and the types of development that we could support that would be closer to people's homes so they wouldn't have to live so far away or have to, you know, get up 2 hours early to take a bus, to take another bus, to take another bus to get to their job. And these are very real issues that we're working on and will continue to work on and work through.
To take the bus from my house in the shallow west end of Allentown to the south side of Bethlehem is something like an hour and 20-minute commute on a bus. Boy, that's tough.
Yeah.
What does the if you were to identify like the 3 to 4, maybe 5 key policy positions that the commission has about what the Lehigh Valley should look like? I mean, I know one of them is that essentially we have a beltway.
We
do. We've got Route 22 that goes kind of on the north. And we have I-78 that goes in a loop to the south. They connect at opposite ends. And inside that beltway is where the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission says we should be developing. Mm-hmm. And then outside that, that strikes me as being a major, major kind of policy position. I don't know
yes.
if most people understand that. Are there others like that that you know, you can sum up as like the 3 or 4, like, you know, main agenda items and main positions for the Planning Commission?
Yeah, you're right. Our main one is the comprehensive plan and our general land use plan, which sets out that growth boundary. We do have a defined growth boundary in the regional comprehensive plan. And again, it really actually follows the Route 22 corridor, which is kind of the backbone for the Lehigh Valley as a whole. And you're right, it does dip down to 78 and then obviously a little bit north of Route 22. And by and large, that's where you're going to find the majority of the development in the region. Working through those issues as new populations come in is something I'm very interested in. We're in the process of developing some mapping and doing some analysis through mapping to see what happens if our population increases by even 20%, 10%, 20%, and we consume land at the same rate that we did during, you know, the building boom. What that means? Well, it means the Lehigh Valley will run out of land. So we have to figure out what that means spatially, and we're in the process of doing that now with the population projections in mind. The other thing that I'm very, very interested in, and I can't stress this enough, and I know I've said it a number of times, is the infrastructure maintenance situation. We have, you know, one of the largest generations in American history, the baby boomers, aging. Hopefully we're able to accommodate them aging in place, but the generation underneath it, my generation, Gen X, is the smallest generation in recorded American history. And then the one, you know, below us is kind of biggish, but how do we deal with the situation that's going to be that's going to face us generationally down the road when there aren't as many people to occupy the homes and the buildings that we have? And how are we going to maintain that infrastructure as other costs not associated with development will affect our tax structure and those sorts of things? Looking at that sort of maintenance piece of it is going to be critical for us in the long term future. And that's something that I'm very interested in working on now so we can try to get out ahead of that issue.
Slate Belt.
Yes.
Is a, you know, I think an important and completely overlooked region of the Lehigh Valley. There are older urbanized boroughs that have this similar kinds of pressures on them that our cities do, just on a smaller scale. They're surrounded by fairly affluent beautiful suburban and rural townships. There's not the kind of effort to promote economic development up there that there is down here. It's out of sight, out of mind. Do you have, how do you look at the Slate Belt as the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission?
The Slate Belt's a really kind of neat area.
It's gorgeous. Where did this come from?
Right. Right. And I know there's a spirit of collaboration up there. I know some people would disagree with me on that, but they're really working together to try to create jobs and figure out how to bring jobs and resources associated with that to that region. And that's great. I think that's important. We're not, mining for slate roof tiles as much as we did in,
unfortunately,
1899 or whatever, but there, you're right. They are dealing with some urban issues, and that's, again, goes back to the point that I don't necessarily look at things as urban, suburban, or rural, because there's a lot of spaces in between and a lot of different types of places. And you're right, a lot of Pennsylvania boroughs are developed at the density of the cities. And in some ways, it's harder for them because they don't have as many people or resources to address some of the issues that they have. As far as the Planning Commission goes, we'd love to work with them and with their partners to develop an understanding and see if there's ways that we could help them.
I've been spending a lot more time up there, mostly because Alicia Carner, who I mentioned earlier, is on my board. Alicia has been a lifelong resident of Bangor. Laurie Sawinski also, as I mentioned earlier. And, they're talking about intermunicipal or multi-municipal permitting for development, code enforcement, planning. I think there's the table is pretty well set for the Planning Commission to put a significant effort into the Slate Belt, and I would encourage that if there's any opportunity for you to do that.
That's exciting stuff, and again, that'd be great to work with them on those issues, particularly since we're the resident experts in the zoning and even code issues and those sorts of things. So.
You're listening to WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. Rick Weaver is coming up. My guest tonight, and with my thanks again to Ray Schwab, has been Becky Bradley. You will hear much more from her over the years to come. She is in a driver's seat, to say the least. And I think we're all going to be happy for the work that Becky's doing. Becky, thanks so much for being on the show. Let me just ask you: are you excited? Are you happy about what you've got ahead of you?
Absolutely, it's just remarkable.
Great. We'll see you next month.